Several weeks ago, I heard a man telling the difference between somebody who's successful and somebody who's mediocre. And he said it's three words. And the three words are, and then some. And that made an impression on me. He said, when somebody just does what they're supposed to do, and they just do the minimal, and they just do whatever it takes to just skim by, when they're given a task, they just kind of cover it, but that's all. He said the difference between a person who's really successful in anything, in finances or in art or music or sports or whatever, is those three words, and then some. Someone who does what they're asked to do, and then some. So it really made an impression on me, and I've thought a lot about it. And I read later an illustration that God gave Jeremiah, and he was talking about his people. And he was talking about how they had become so marred because of their idolatry and apostasy that they had actually become good for nothing. And those words are in there. It's in Jeremiah. I could go to it, but I think I'll just tell you about it. But he said they had become good for nothing, and he compared them to a garment that had become molded and rotten and had been hidden away in the ground. And those words really impressed me, and I thought of the difference between the two, being good for nothing and being a person who does what they are told to do and then some, puts their heart into it and becomes a success. And so I've thought a lot about that, and I want to ask you if you can give me illustration in the scriptures, in some of the Bible stories. Who was a person who did what they were asked and then some? Can you think of an illustration in the scripture? And I'll let you think about that as we go along here. But I also, in thinking of this concept, realize that there is a balance to the thought of me trying to be a person who does what I'm supposed to do and then some. We're very prone to get out of balance, and I do want to keep that in balance in my thought this morning, not to put a burden on someone that you're really not going to make it unless you do more than you should. Also, I don't want it to sound like that God wants us to wear ourselves out, so to speak, and it become a drudgery to us, and we burn out trying to perform and overachieve. That's not what I'm talking about at all. And neither am I talking about the thought where, like in the parable that Jesus told in chapter 17 of Luke, where, well, I guess it really wasn't a parable, but it was just an illustration that a servant who has done what's been commanded to him should still feel like, I'm an unprofitable servant. I just did that which was my duty to do. And I think that what he was saying there was, nothing that we can ever do in serving the Lord is going to make the Lord indebted to us. We're not ever going to buy salvation by what we do. I want that to be a balance to the thought of, and then some, to give it all you've got and to go the extra mile and to put your all into it. Want to have a balance there so that we don't feel like that if we do enough, that will merit heaven, that will heaven will be what we have gained because of what we have done. But when we get to the end, it'll all be because of the mercy, the unmerited favor of the Lord upon us. We can never pay back the debt that our Lord, he has forgiven for us. We can never do enough good things. Like some people say, if I do enough good things, it'll outweigh the bad. That's not the point of the message this morning, but we could never do that. Everything is always a merciful and compassionate gift of eternal life is a gift, not wages. It's a gift. So I want to keep that in balance where he said, after you've done all that's your duty to do, just say, I'm an unprofitable servant. I really have done just what I was asked to do. But in our lives, when we're looking to the Lord to be a blessing, that the scripture that I mentioned about his people there in Jeremiah, I'll just tell you where it is. It's Jeremiah 13. But there where he compared his people to something, a garment that was so marred that it was good for nothing. In that, he said in that place that he had created his people to be a praise and a blessing, that they might be, in verse 11 of chapter 13, that they might be unto me for a people and for a name and for a praise and for a glory, but they wouldn't hear. In our lives today, we want to give it all we've got and then some for the praise and the honor and glory of God, that we might be for him a vessel of honor, that we can read about that in 2 Timothy 2 and somewhere along in there. We can be a vessel of honor, a channel of blessing to others. In thinking about his people, the people of Israel, he wanted them to not just keep his promises and covenants and commandments, but to be people who would share them with the rest of the world, because his ultimate plan was to save the world. And he wanted his people, the Jews, to be a light for him. And so when they just sunk into idolatry and apostasy, it sickened his heart, because he had made his people to be a blessing, to be a prophet and a help, and to be to give glory and honor and to carry his name to everyone. And so we want to have that in our minds today. Have you thought of someone yet? And I asked the scripture, have you thought of someone who was a blessing and a help beyond what they were asked to do? Have you thought of someone? Who? The Good Samaritan. That's a good answer, because that man did above and beyond what even the religious people of his day did. So we can look at that as an example. Anyone else? Can you think of a Bible story where someone did what they were asked to do and then some? Well, the little boy who brought his lunch. Yes, he gave all that he had. And Jesus multiplied it, didn't he? That's a good one also. Well, I'm thinking of... Was somebody starting to say something? Go ahead.
I was just thinking about the lady that put in her 2 mites.
Yes.
The rich people gave them their excess, but she gave everything she had.
Yes. That also illustrates what I'm trying to say here. When you've given... You've given more maybe than what your share is, but you've devoted it all to the Lord. When it's talking about giving money, that's a good thought there. I'm thinking of a young woman who was asked to do something, and then she said, well, let me do this too. Who was that? All right, well, I'll let you know. Abraham sent his servant to find a wife for his son Isaac. And the servant prayed and asked the Lord, Lord, let it be let it be the person, the lady that whenever I say, give me a drink of water out of your pitcher. Let it be the one who says, oh, let me water your camels also. And I wonder why he asked for a person who would do that. You think that there are some people that wouldn't have done that? Some women wouldn't have done that? Maybe some would have been a little fearful, or some would have been, I don't know. What would have made a woman not do that? But this, he asked for that quality of person to be the sign that she was for the master, for his master, a wife for his master. I was thinking about Rebecca's quality there of, she was asked to give him a drink, and she said, here, let me draw water for your camels. Do you know how much water a camel drinks? And I don't know how many that he had, maybe a couple. But she asked to do quite a task, and she offered it. She volunteered. I remember as a young person that Brother Clifford Wilson told us often, he said, God will only call those who volunteer. God wants all of us this morning to volunteer, not to just skim by, not to just do enough and pray enough and believe enough and love enough to just get by, but to do all that and then some, to have a quality of heart where, Lord, I just want to do something to bless someone. I just want to be a vessel of honor. I want to be cleaned out so much that you can put something good in me to give to others. Really, God is our deliverer and our Savior. We believe and trust in Him to do that for us. But He saves us so that we can be a blessing to others, so that we can be profitable for Him, so that we can bear fruit, so that He can put things into our lives to make a profit for Him. Remember the parable of the servants that He gave a few things to one, and He gave a few things to another, and then He gave one thing to this last one? Remember? What was He wanting? He said, go do business with what I've given to you. Go out there and trade until you have more than what I've given to you. He has given us the gospel. He has given us our life and our breath and our strength. He's given us abilities. He's given us knowledge. He's given us His word. And that is a real gift right there, for us to actually have the word of God and the knowledge to, is it just for us? Is it just for me to keep and to just stow away in my heart? Really, the Lord has given us something that He wants us to go and gain with it. He wants us to make a profit. Not financially, that's not what I'm talking about, but spiritually. He wants us to take what we've been given and find somewhere that we can be a light and a blessing. A job where we can not only be faithful, but to extend the opportunities to others. So that's what I was thinking about today. To be like Rebecca, to have that quality of heart. I appreciate when I see children and young people who look for something they can do to help. That's the quality that will bring you much joy, and it will be a blessing to others. It will actually help spread the gospel. Whenever you have the quality and you come into maybe a place where you're a stranger, the best way to feel like you can fit in is to become someone who helps and to find something that you can do to help others. I've known people like that. I've known people who, and I've wanted to be more like that. I've known people who had come into my home, and I've mentioned this before. It's amazing to me, but who come into my home, first thing you know, they've got my broom and they're over there sweeping my floor. How did they do that? This is always what I've wondered. Well, how'd she get there? How'd she start gathering up my laundry? Or how did she start doing my dishes? She just went in there and started doing that. And then some people. That's the people who are a real blessing wherever they go. And I'll just have to admit, I've had to learn. I've had to kind of kick myself into gear and remind myself, look, you need to look around for something to do and begin to do it. Because sometimes when you're shy and you're a little afraid and you don't know if you can do it like the person would like or whatever, you kind of don't do it. But whenever the Lord gives us something to do, what did he say? Do it with your might. Give it everything you've got and then some. Think about the lady who gave Jesus a gift of expensive ointment. She took the thing that was such a treasure to her, the most expensive thing she had, and she gave it to the Lord. She broke the box, the ointment came out, and then she wiped it with her hair, and she wept at his feet. It was all because she had been forgiven so much. He had done so much for her, and she thought, there's nothing too expensive or too costly for my Lord. There is nothing. Really, that's really from where we work. We work from the thought of, I'm in great debt, and I'll never be able to pay it. And we often ask the Lord, Lord, forgive me. I don't feel like that I'm able to pay you back for what you've done for me. But I want to give it all I've got. I want to go in and be a blessing for you. I want to help and share your name and be someone who makes a success of the Christian life. I don't want to be like the man that had the one talent given to him. Was that in Matthew 25, I believe? He was given just one and he was so afraid that he didn't even try. God wants us to be someone who at least tries, who begins to take the opportunity or the good thing that's given to us and see what we can do to make a profit for him, to give back to him more than what we were given at the first, to improve on it. He said, this man said, I knew you were a hard man. What did it say there? In verse 24, he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you, that you're a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. In other words, someone who comes to a garden and says, I want beans out of this garden. Well, he didn't sow them, but I want them anyway, and I'm going to require the garden to give it to me. Give me some beans. That would be absurd, wouldn't it? That's not the way you do. You don't go to some ground and say, I want you to give me corn. Well, this man had this idea about the master, that he would require something that he hadn't even put in there. And so many people have that thought about God. They think, he's too hard to serve. I could never please him anyway. He's going to require more of me than I could ever give. I'm just not even going to try. And so they don't try. Year after year after year, until you have a life of wasted years and opportunities that are neglected and lie dormant, God could use every one of us for good. He has a purpose and a plan for your life and a calling that he will give you, and he'll always give you grace to do it. It's maybe hard. Have you ever been given a hard task? What happens when you put it off? In your mind, it gets harder, doesn't it? When I was a young girl, I put off doing the dishes till they'd pile up and pile up and pile up. It's easier to do your dishes when there's just a few and it hasn't been a long time and they haven't got all crusty and stinky. You get in and you do those dishes and you enjoy it. And you give it all you've got. And the Lord will bless you. Do the hard thing. Do the thing that you think is difficult or distasteful. Have a heart and say, Lord, I want not only to give a drink of water, but I want to water the camels. I want to go beyond what's just mediocre. I want to be a prophet and a blessing and really help you in your... The Word says, let's see, where is that? He talks about being laborers together with God, and that's in 1 Corinthians 3. He says, for we are laborers together with God. In verse 7 it says, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth. In other words, we can all just say about ourselves, I'm really unprofitable. It's God that gave the increase. God gives the increase. God is the one that does this. I'm really unprofitable of myself. But he still calls us to labor with him. He still calls us and gives us something to do. So we want to give it all we've got. I want to repeat again a little verse that I said, I think, 2 weeks ago when we were speaking about joy. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 24, the last one, he says that we're helpers of your joy. Think about the responsibility that gives us to, and a little calling, you might say, upon every one of us to help another's joy. That's not hard to do. Think about it, children. You're helpers of your mama and daddy's joy. You can help them in to be more joyful in their lives by the way that you help them. Sometimes we as children, when we're children, we don't realize the joy that our parents have over us. I remember one time, my dad told me a long time later, he said, I watched you walk up the street. And he said, I was so thankful for you that I wrote this poem. And he wrote a little poem about it. That touched my heart. I didn't know my dad was watching me walk up the street. I didn't know those thoughts in his heart. But that's the way a parent is. A parent, your dad or your mom, many times watches you and looks at how you're doing and is so thankful. Oh, I just am so thankful. God, thank you for giving me this child. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about being a blessing, being a prophet. The scripture over in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7, it says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal, or for him to be a prophet to wherever he goes. He can be a witness and a missionary and a worker together with God, wherever he goes, spreading the word of God and sharing the life of God with everyone, wherever he or she goes. Even a child, it says, is known by his doings. So we as young people, children, older people, even old people, it says that, let's see, what is that scripture in Psalms? Is it 69? No, I'm thinking of the one where, maybe it's 92. Maybe it's 92. Where he talks about the righteous being like a palm tree. Yes, Psalms 92 and 12. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. Those in verse 13, those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. That sounds to me like not just mediocre, but it means abundance. It means producing plenteously. They'll flourish in the Lord, in the courts of our Lord. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. That's what the Lord, he has called us to do, that to show forth his praise. 1 Peter 2, where he talks about that we have been called holy nation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people. Verse 9, 1 Peter 2 and 9, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So he wants to make us a people who show forth his praise, who tell his wonderful works, who give it all of our best and our our noblest efforts. Lord, I want this to count. I remember as a young person, I got a little thought in my mind. I wanted my life to count for God. I wanted to make the Lord thankful. And I'm not saying, again, to balance this out, there's nothing we can do to deserve salvation. But we can give our lives to Him and then say, Lord, I want you to use me and make me, help me to praise you and to be a light and to share your word and your love to people. I also saw something this past week as we were traveling, and I cannot remember the town that we were traveling through, but it was a newspaper in the stand there by the cashier's desk. There was a newspaper, and it caught my eye, and so I went over to it, and it was a big picture of an older lady, and it was her obituary, but it was on the front page, and it was a big write-up of this elderly lady of that community. And so I began to read it. The lady was 94, and she had died, and she and her husband had been married 71 years. She had had 7 children. 5 are still living, but she had lost 2. She was a Sunday school teacher in her church and a vacation Bible school teacher. She was a person who loved the Lord, and she spread His love, and was, and this was all written in that newspaper of that town. It wrote it all out just like that. There was a second picture on the inside page. The second picture was a picture of the funeral home, and every bench had an afghan that was spread along the back of it. There were afghans all over that, and they were hanging along the walls. There were hundreds of them. And the people of that community, she had given so many afghans to her friends and neighbors and just anybody, that for her funeral, they all, a lot of them brought their afghans to display as a tribute to the good works of this lady. The thing that really impressed me was that on her deathbed, she was in the hospital for quite a while. She was concerned about her doctor. She asked him if he knew Jesus, and he did not. He did not know Jesus in his forgiveness and salvation. And she talked to him until one day he came back and he said, Mrs. whatever, Smith, I can't remember the name. He said, you have been talking to me about Jesus, and you have made me want to know Jesus. And so, right before she died, he prayed to be saved. Her doctor, at 94, she led her doctor to the Lord. And that just impressed me so much. And I didn't have my purse with me. I wanted to buy the paper. It was a dollar. I wish I could have bummed a dollar off of somebody to get the paper. Because then I thought, well, I'll remember the name. Now I can't remember the name. But one thing about that lady was this. When she was 4 years old, her mother was killed in a car accident. And she was adopted by her aunt. And her aunt raised her. She grew up and went to school and went to college and met her husband in college, married him, and was married 71 years to him. It sounds like a successful life, doesn't it? But when you think about the tragedy that happened in her early life, sometimes when you look at tragedies in people's lives, you think, oh, they'll never be the same again. They'll always be crippled. They'll always be someone who isn't able to function very well. It doesn't have to be. She had that type of an early tragedy in her life. She said, one of the things that she had said was her memory, the only memory of her mother, was standing at the kitchen stove holding on to her mother's skirts. That's a sweet memory to have. And no doubt the aunt and uncle that took her in raised her well. Another tragedy that I mentioned that she had was she's lost 2 of her children before she passed away. So I don't know how that happened. I don't know if they were younger or older or what. But she was a person who took the opportunities of her life and advanced on them. Evidently. I mean, That's what we all have to do. There may be tragedies come in our lives. We may have hard times, hardships, obstacles, but if we can do that, that's God's purpose in us, is to help us to make a profit, to overcome the hard things and the disadvantages that we may feel, and to not be crippled or not feel less than or not feel bitter, but to overcome and give it all of our strength and our might and then some, and overcome and be more than a conqueror and end up to be a prophet and a blessing for the Lord. Yes, Lord, help us. Like there was another thing I wanted to share. Sometimes we feel a like we're a failure because we haven't always done this. And we think, I might as well not try to start now because I've already made so much failure of my life that I can't ever overcome it. But I want you to look at this little verse in a little tiny book of the Bible, the book of Philemon. And look what Paul said about this man. Onesimus, he had been a slave and he had run away from his master. And he met Paul and became a Christian and was mentored by Paul and then instructed by Paul, go back to your master. And Paul said, in verse 11, verse 10, I beseech thee for my son, Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now he's profitable to thee and to me. The Lord wants us, if we have run away from our duties and tasks, and we've been on the outside, you might say, and haven't lived for the Lord or haven't been a witness for the Lord, let's not think, oh, I can't ever do anything now. I can't ever be a success now. I can't overcome now. It's too hard. I can't go back there where I messed up and make a go at it. Yes, you can. You can overcome any obstacle and you can become profitable for the Lord. You can become a helper. You can become a light. You can become an encouragement. Onesimus did. Paul witnessed and he recommended him to his master. As far as we know, he went ahead and went back to him and became profitable to him. We do have a responsibility to those around us. We have the power to push people down. Did you know that? We have the power to push people down. And some people live that way. They live and they lift themselves up by pushing other people down. We have the power, the scripture says, there's death and life in the power of the tongue. By the things that we say, did you know we can discourage and hurt others? We don't want to do that. I don't even want to make that the big point of the message. But there is that capability in each of us to hurt and injure others. I think about the scripture in Romans chapter 14. In verse 15 it says, but if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now thou walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. And what he's talking about there is when the Jews who were not allowed to eat certain things, when they met with a brother who was a Gentile, who had never had those prohibitions in his life, the Gentile was just as free as air to eat whatever he wanted to eat. And so he would maybe come up to the Jewish brother and say, I can do whatever I want to here. And so the Jew who had a fear about that would try to do that and be that way, and it would cause him great condemnation in his life. He couldn't do that. He had to do the thing that was, to him and his conscience, was right or wrong. We can't, any of us, try to live by another person's conscience. That's not, that's a dangerous thing to do. But he said to the Gentile, you may be free to do what you want to do out here, and it doesn't condemn you. Don't destroy your brother who does have those kind of scruples. Don't destroy him by flaunting your liberty and by being uncharitable to him. You understand what I'm saying? We have, there's something about us that we do have an influence over other people. We do. Let us remember that, and as to live together as community, as children together in the same family, let's be aware and compassionate of others and the things that make them go into doubt or go into sin or be offended or be crushed or hurt. Anything that would cause our brother to be discouraged, we don't want to do it. I remember having that awareness come to me as I got older, that I had that kind of influence over younger people. And as I used to look up to older people, and I would look up to them and think of, just about hang on their every word. Remember how that can be? Did you know that younger ones than you do that to you? And so we begin to be aware of someone's following me. I'm an example. Someone's looking at my leadership, and they're going to do it because I do it, or not do it because I don't do it. We all need to come to the maturity where we do things as unto the Lord. But we have to admit, I am influenced by what other Christians allow themselves to do. It does influence me. You understand what I'm saying? We have the ability to be a blessing or be, he said here, destroy. That's a strong word. Destroy not him for whom Christ died. Why would some action of mine destroy another person's faith? But it can. It can, and we need to be aware of it. We want to overcome every obstacle so that we can be a blessing and a help. There's the thought of make, and I know that the world uses this in a way that's not even connected to the Lord, but we can also apply this principle in living for the Lord, to make the world a better place than when you found it. And what I'm saying there is, here's a little illustration. We read a book when we were younger about a family that when they would eat out somewhere, like at a little picnic, he would take his children and have them join hands, and there were a lot of children, and they would go across the picnic ground and pick up the trash that they found. And they grumbled. They said, Daddy, we didn't put all this trash here. These are not our beer cans. We don't drink beer. These are somebody else's. And he would say, leave the place better than when you found it. And that's, to me, that's a worthwhile endeavor, is to where you go. Maybe you can't clean up the entire parking lot. I'm not trying to put a burden on you that wherever you park your car, you got to go clean the parking lot. But I'm saying, spiritually, or the atmosphere of the room, some people can darken a room atmosphere by just being there. They emanate pessimism and negativism, and they have not very good words to say, hardly ever. Let's not be that type of person, but let's be a blessing. Carry the joy. Help the joy in the room to go up. Somebody said, are you a thermostat or a thermometer? A thermostat sets the atmosphere in the room. And we can by just being at peace inside and having an atmosphere about us of peace and quietness and humility and honesty and genuine compassion and love for the people that are around us. When you have that, it improves the world around you. It helps. It can actually heal. Remember, I think one of our messages here the other day is wherever the water of life goes, it gives life. Wherever the Lord puts us, we can give life and blessing and be a prophet. Amen. That's my little thought for today.